Accession number 20617, Reel 1.
Well, Bigland, Reel 1, where were you born, please?
Liverpool.
Which year was this?
1924.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Liverpool?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
Liverpool 8, the south end of Liverpool.
And how old were you when you left school?
14.
So that was in 1938?
That's it.
Did you get a job?
Yes, right away.
What job did you get?
Work for a shop boy in a Liverpool co-op.
Is that what you were doing when war was declared?
Yes.
What was life like in Liverpool before the war for you?
Enjoyable, you know. When I was in most organisations, the Cubs before the war, Cubs, St John's Ambulance Brigade. And then when the war started, I joined the Liverpool Civil Defence Cadets.
Why did you do that?
Well, part of a service, you know. I like to be a member of some organisations.
What did you have to do in?
Civil Defence Cadets. Firefighting, rescue work, first aid. And we're in different companies. I was in Northumberland Street Company. That's where I actually lived, in Northumberland Street, at the time.
So were you doing this in the bombing of Liverpool?
Yes, from the 1st of May, right through until it finished on the 8th.
Can you describe what you did and saw at that time?
Well, we went on the Sunday, and I was allocated to the control room. And while we were there, the idea was, if a bomb dropped, a policeman went out with myself as a messenger, ascertained the damage. Then he phoned it through if he could. And he also wrote a sit-rep report, and I ran back to the control room. But one instance, we came out, and as we were coming out, I walked alongside the policeman, and he suddenly went down, and a bit of shrapnel to the back of his leg from one of the shells. So we went back into the control room, and another policeman came out with me. And incidentally, this incident, we went down to the place, and the bomb had hit our headquarters of the Civil Defence Cadets, Northumberland Street headquarters. I did one of the outbuildings.
Did it do much damage?
It was only on the corner. It was in the playground on the corner, and there was a gas leak, and I was told to stay there. And then incendiary bombs dropped, and we just went round with sandbags, placing them on top of the incendiary bombs in the street. Just walked up with sandbags and just placed them on the top.
What was your address at this time?
I was living in Northumberland Street, number 2 Northumberland Street.
Were there many bombs in your area?
The first bomb dropped at the bottom of Northumberland Street. It's a railway shed. And nobody was killed there. Then another one dropped in the tenements at the bottom of the road, in Brunswick Gardens. I think about 3 people were killed.
How frightening was the bombing for you?
Well, not frightening. It was out every night, so it just never bothered us, really. My father was out. He was a licensee at my father. We had a pub in Northumberland Street, and he was out the same in the street as a fire watcher.
What was the name of your pub?
The Grapes. But nobody called it that. They called it Walters, because my dad's name. He never called it the Grapes.
How did public morale stand up to the bombing?
Oh, I think it was very well in Liverpool. A bit of fun, you know, everybody joking the next morning. And most of the kids were going around collecting shrapnel, as usual.
Did you ever use shelters?
No. I never went to any shelter. We built one in the cellar in the pub, and my mother and grandmother and sister went down there. But my grandmother started moaning at my father's mother. She started moaning. My dad said, "Oh, leave it in bed." We're at the top of the house. We left it there. Every morning she'd come down. "What was that noise last night?" Nobody bothered. The bombs were dropping around the area, and the shell and the gunners were going around. My dad said, "I'll leave it up there."
How old was she?
She was 75. She died in 1944. She was 79. This was the 41. 76 she was.
But did she know a war was on?
Oh, she knew it was on, yeah. She knew it was on. She had a family, but she used to forget him. When I came home on leave from the Marines, she said, I see him and like, well, then go out, come back in. She said to me, Dad, who was that young man here last night? But when I come in, she recognised me again.
Did you listen to wireless during the war?
Yes, we did.
What would you listen to?
Mostly varieties and the bands, you know, the dance bands and all that at the time. And the news, naturally.
Would you listen to VIP speeches?
Not particularly. I listened to Churchill's speech, yes.
What effect did his speeches have?
Well, they're very much the way they can use now. We more live up to the uplift of Churchill, did he? Give a good speech maker, Churchill, I know that about that.
Would you listen to Haw Haw?
We did, yes. Not a good laugh, as usual.
What was the feeling towards the Germans at the time?
Well, you know, I don't think any much feelings, really. It just, there was a war on, that was it. The day of the enemy, and that was it.
Did you think the Germans might win the war?
No, I never thought that, no.
So, how did you come to join up yourself?
Well, I was in the sort of Gensikets, and we were in the headquarters, Northumberland Street, and we had a, Forrest had a talk, and we decided to join, Forrest joined the Marines. We all went down, and we joined up. We volunteered, actually. I'd already registered, but I wanted to go in the unit I wanted to go in.
What had attracted you to Royal Marines?
Well, I would have gone in the machine gun corps at Binmouth, because there was no machine. It was disbanded in 1922. So I went into the Royal Marines, we were discussing it.
Can you tell me why you wanted to go into the machine gun corps?
Well, my father was in the machine gun corps.
In the First World War?
Yeah.
Where was the Royal Marine headquarters?
We went down to Limston in Devon, just outside Exeter.
Can you tell me about what happened there, please?
Well, we arrived at midnight the 24th of November, 42. We left Liverpool, arrived at 2 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. And they had their own station at Woodbury Road Station. And instead of going, we went through a little special path into the barracks. And then we got no more medicals and more documentation, an issue with our kit. And we were there for 7 weeks initial training.
What was that like?
A bit tough. But I'd already been in the Army Cadets, part of the Civil Defence Cadets. They formed an Army Cadet unit in the Civil Defence. So I knew a bit about military training.
How did you cope with the training?
Oh, very well. I enjoyed it. It's a bit tough, but I enjoyed it.
What type of things were so tough?
Well, the climbing, rope climbing.
In a gym, you mean?
No, out in the field, in trees. And they had him in the gym as well, towards the ceiling.
How did the people in charge of the training treat you?
All right. There was never any of this F-word from the NCO, never. I've never heard it at all. As these days it is.
Did the training do you much good?
Oh, yes. Really fit.
And then?
Went from there to the infantry training centre at Dawlish Camp, which is a couple of miles down the road. I'll be there for 8 weeks, and that was out in the field all the time. And then after 8 weeks, I went on a course for NCO. But then they decided to form a new Royal Marine field battery. So we were allocated the 2nd Royal Marine Field Regiment. They'd already had the 1st Field Regiment.
What was the job of a field regiment?
Well, it was a part of the Royal Marine Division. It was disbanded in 1943, but prior to that, they had two field batteries, two 3.7 howitzer batteries, two anti-tank batteries. Then you had the battalions, the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 5th. And I think there was a 7th and 8th battalions. And you had a signal corps, and you had the Royal Marine Engineers, part of the Royal Marine Division. But that was disbanded in 1943.
Where did you join the field regiment?
We went up to Harrogate to the Royal Artillery Barracks in, I think it was March 43. I was there for 8 weeks at the Royal Artillery Barracks, a place called Pennypot Lane, just outside Harrogate. And then we moved down to Broughton. Broughton Woods outside Andover.
Can you tell me what happened to you at Harrogate? What kind of instruction you got?
We mainly off field 25 pounders, one of the army instructors.
What type of things were you learning about the 25 pounder?
Well, I was trying to learn the gun layer mainly.
What does that involve?
On the left of the gun is the two sights and a level sight, and you had to get the gun, the level. What did they call? I can't tell you what they call the side. There's six men in the gun's crew, and the gun layer usually sits on the left-hand side of the gun. He lays the gun, gets the orders.
And who was it? Who was training you?
The Royal Artillery.
How did you get on with them?
We got on all right with them. And in one instance, we were in the barrack room on the Friday, and we had to move because there's some ATS girls were going to take over. And what happened, one of the NCOs said, the senior said, don't tell the other NCO what's happened. The next Monday morning, he goes into the barrack room, opens the door, switches on the light, and we didn't know we heard his screams. Our feet never touched the ground because we never told him that he changed. We'd been on leave for the weekend. Yeah, I had a good time there for 8 weeks up in the Royal Artillery Barracks.
And then you went to Andover area?
I went down to Andover, and that's where they decided to disband the Royal Marine Division. Well, then I was transferred to the 31st Light Battery because you're going to keep them. Then I was sent to Wimborne. I was only there a couple of weeks and I saw some men training, Marines. And I said, we're going to join the commandos out in Italy, number 43 commando. So we found out that they're going to disband the 31st Light Battery. So we decided to join the commandos then.
What attracted you to the idea of being a commander?
Well, there's no more artillery, and I was mostly infantry, so I went to the commandos. All the battalions were changed to commandos then. The 1st, 2nd, 3rd and 5th all changed to commando units.
And this was 4-5 commando?
Well, we got sent to Hilsey Barracks. It was originally the 5th battalion in August 43, and they changed it to 45.
And then?
And while I was there, we were duty troop one night, or one day, and about past 3 in the morning, we had to have our kit packed, and we had to go from Ilse right to the top of a hill. Have you ever been to Ilse?
Yes.
There's two big tower, like forts on the hill, up top there. Well, I got halfway up, it was up 3 o'clock in the morning, I come back. And the men who had been in the battalion, they'd been training since 1940, and they were really fit. And I went back the next morning, I put a chest in to return to my unit. And Captain Glucock, he was the troop commander, he asked me why. I said, I couldn't get to the top. I'd been riding around in a quad, or a quad as I pulled a gun, all for the past 3 months. And I'd never done any route march or anything like that. And he talked me back to staying in the commandos. See, I miss it. I just didn't get to the top. When the others coming back, I join them and come back down again. And he took me back into staying in the commandos, which I never regretted. Incidentally, he got killed about, I think, 6 days after D-Day, Captain Glucock. And I was right through in the commander's room. We had a after we left Ilse, we went to the Royal, to the commander's school at Achnacarry. We were there from the end of November until the 21st of December. And I was then at the peak of fitness then. And then we left and we went into civvy billets in January 44.
What happened to you at Achnacarry?
We'd done 3 weeks up there and we were under the training of the army commandos. And we were rock climbing, cliff climbing, speed marching, mainly.
Did you like it there?
Yes. I was really, really fit after I'd finished there. I enjoyed it. Any lived in tents, by the way, and in the middle of winter.
Any specific incidents that happened to you there?
Only when I jumped off a landing rubber dinghy and hit me knee against a rock, that's all. Nothing particular. And I got away with not doing the 15-mile speed march. I didn't do it because my knee couldn't do it. Then all the rest, the 5 mile, the 7 mile, and the 9 mile. You walk, you march, and then you run. That's just what your speed march. I think we've done 5 mile in a quarter of an hour, I think it was, with full kit. And we left there after 3 weeks and went into civvy billets down in Eastbourne.
What was that like?
Oh, it's great. I would live him and I, Corporal Eric Arden of the Royal Army Medical Corps. Him and I were allocated a billet at 46 Woodgate Road, Eastbourne, with two elderly spinsters. And it was the best billet we've ever had. Incidentally, Corporal Arden won the Victoria Cross 12 months later.
What was he like?
He was all of them. He was 30. I was 19, he was 33. So when we went to the house, I said, you do the talking. And the two elderly ladies, Miss Evelyn Streeter and Miss Dorothy Streeter, Victorian ladies they were. And we went in, he explained. She'd want to know what she wanted to do for us, like, you know. Well, we had extra money. And we paid so much a week, extra subsistence. And we chose just our meals, that's all. And when we went out, she'd give us sandwiches to come out on manoeuvres, when we had manoeuvres, things like that.
What was this chap's name, did you say?
Corporal Eric Arden. Arden. I've got a book there with him there. I'll show you in a minute. One of the Victoria Cross.
What was he like as a man?
Oh, likeable, really likeable. I think he was a butcher by trade. And we were stayed there until D-Day, or weeks before D-Day.
Which part of the country did he come from?
London. London area.
Can you tell me about the preparations for D-Day, please?
Well, I went on a demolition course, and a mine clearing course at Stenning. For about 10 days, and we're doing a lot of training around Eastbourne area, going across rivers and that. And then we moved down to the staging area at Southampton.
What did you do there?
Well, nothing, just getting information about what we're going to do when we landed on French soil.
What type of things did they tell you to prepare you for it?
Well, both being to find a lot of dead on the beach and things like that.
To what?
Dead, you know, been killed. Not to see to the wounded, to leave them there because the medical orders were coming up behind. Well, incidentally, as I was getting on the beach, I was going up and I saw one of the members of the troop and he was bandaging a bloke up on, he had been wounded in the leg. I tried to be a bit odd about it. We had to be at a rendezvous. He said, well, I couldn't leave him here, he said. So I stopped and gave him a hand to put the field dressing on. But I told him that two medical aides had just passed the couple. So we'd done that and we carried on to our rendezvous. just across the road from the beach.
Can we go back to the holding area in England before you went? Can you pick up the story from there, please? What happened to you?
Oh, when you've done a little bit of training and they went for marching instructions, what was going to happen. And then we went down to Wasatch, where the landing craft were. We went there on the 4th of June, because the D-Day was supposed to be on the 5th. Then we came back, because the weather was bad on the channel. Then we went back again on the 5th of June, down to Wasatch and onto the landing craft.
What kind of a landing craft was it?
LCA, they had four ramps. I don't think landing craft was 5:30, it was, A troop. 5:30, the number of the landing craft.
What was it like in the landing craft?
Well, it's cramped, it's down below. There's no bridge, it was open bridge for the couple of way down below. We just tried to sleep, if we could.
What could you sleep on?
There's this seat around, only seats around below, there's no bunks, anything like that. We just slept anywhere.
Could you sleep?
Well, I was dozing more or less. And I remember about 8:30, an officer shouted down, but in the news, the salt division landed at 6:30, and we were going to land about 8:45, 8:45. We went on deck then. That was a fantastic sight to see all the landing craft in line ahead coming in. We just got behind the bridge of the landing craft, and as soon as we touched down, the crew pushed the ramps out and we went down the ramps.
How deep was the water?
I got a dry landing. The landing craft hit the beach and I just went down and I just stepped off the ramp onto the beach. And that's where I saw my first person had been killed. He'd been lying along, he was a naval commando. Been just lying on the beach, straight up the beach. All I could hear was somebody shouting, "Get off the beach!" It was the beach marshal, and we carried off up the road, up the beach.
Which beach did you land on?
Queen Red. Queen Red Beach.
What were you equipped with when you landed?
Oh, I carried a rubber dinghy in my back. It was rucksack with a rubber dinghy in, my mess tins, my 24-hour rations, 100 rounds of ammunition, 4 grenades, and a bike.
Bike?
I had a bike.
A heavy bike?
It was not too heavy, like, and I got down the ramp with it. But I only rode it a bit. Never rode it anymore because I couldn't ride it because of any debris on the roads.
So what did you do?
Well, when I got to, our objection was, when we got to the own bridges, if you had been captured or not, A troop would have to ferry all the commando across in rubber dinghies, because we had the small boat troop. But when we got to the bridges, I was ready to pump up the rubber dinghy, and an officer of the airborne came and said, "What are you doing?" I said, You're going to run across the bridge because they captured it intact. So I got permission to leave the dinghy with the airborne and my bike, because I didn't. So I left it with the airborne. And we just, in groups of five, we ran across the bridges. That was our objective, to contact the airborne. Then we had to carry on to a place called Franceville La Plage.
But going back to the beaches, when you landed, you were part of 45 Commando.
I was part of the 1st Commando Brigade.
And which troop are?
I was in A troop.
And what rank did you have?
Marine.
And who was in charge of you?
Of the troop, Captain Grucock. Grucock.
What did you see on the beach as you ran up it?
Well, wounded and people dead lying on the beach. I know the tank landing craft alongside of us, and that had been hit and it was on fire, it was pulling out. It was on fire, just pulling out.
So you were heading for a rendezvous?
We had crossed off the beach, crossed the road, and crossed some marshy ground, and we rendezvoused just above the town it was.
Did most people rendezvous, or were there heavy casualties?
I can't remember now. We moved off about, we landed about 8:15, and we moved off about 10 o'clock from the rendezvous. I think our troop, we had lost a few of the troop there at the time. I can't say how many. I've got this in a book of what it is.
What are your next memories?
We're moving along towards the river on bridges and going through one village, and we were pulled up by locals and give us a tot of Calvados. And I know somebody took some photographs. I had my bike with me. There were seven of us, and we were all in a semicircle drinking the tot. But we couldn't stay long, and we carried on. But somebody took a photograph, but never did see the photograph. And we just carried on towards the bridges.
What happened when you approached the bridges?
Well, we got to the bridge, and I say we tried to pump up the rubber dinghy, but I say we never used them. We just ran across the bridge in groups of five, being sniped at as usual, to because of the other side of the bridge. Then we reformed again and moved down the road towards Salon Hills.
Had you been in any fighting so far?
No. Some of the troops had moved off for, you found a sniper, but I just carried on with the main troop, moving along.
What happened when you moved off to Salon Hills?
Well, we were getting on the heavy fire coming through Salon Hills, mortar mainly. And we were just carried on towards naval bases. That's another objection, but we'd been captured by the airborne. So we carried on towards Franceville La Plage, and we got there and we had to give covering fire to another troop, and then we tried to capture the place, but we couldn't, so we pulled back a while till the next day, and we moved down the main street through some woods, and we got to the beach again. But James wouldn't surrender to us, because an officer went down to try and make him surrender, but he wouldn't, so we had to pull back.
And was this German infantry?
Well, I think it was German Marines, I think. But he wouldn't, so we pulled back to the little woods, and we stayed there, and then we pulled back to Salon Hills, to a place called Le Plain. Place called Amperville.
What happened there?
Well, we were in defensive position then. A troop were mainly rear, looking at the rear, in an orchard in Le Plain.
Were you attacked by the enemy at
Amperville? Oh, yeah, all the time, mainly mortars.
What effect did the mortaring have?
We just carried on.
Did they do much damage with the mortars?
No, not that I know of, no. And we moved into the orchard, and we put base there for until the end of July. But I was loading ammunition on in the orchard, because we had an ammunition dump. And as somebody slung a crate, I pushed it in, and as I pushed it, it caught me here,
palm of your hand.
And a bit of skin, didn't bleed, so I just pulled it off. This is the middle of July, Next morning, my hand was up here, and Corporal Arden, as I say, he was the orderly, so I went to see him. And he pulled me out of, he asked the Sergeant Major to pull me out of the position, and I went into HQ for the night. He sent me down to the 6th Airborne Division 1st Aid Post. When I got down there, they sent me to Le Diveren Hospital.
What did they say had happened?
A blood poison. I got two incisions in my palm of my hand.
This is your left hand?
Left hand. when I had the insurance.